Welcome to Anthony Ploga Music. This is Eddie Ludema, the show's producer. In the bonus room, Will and Carlos talk about their experiences performing with other major orchestras, such as the New York Philharmonic, the Philadelphia Orchestra, the St. Louis Symphony, and the London Symphony. Their conversation then turns to the future, with Will talking about his work with Venture Mouthpieces, and Carlos talking about training to become an Alexander Technique teacher. Thank you for listening, and if you're enjoying these interviews, please be sure to subscribe to the podcast and help us spread the word.
Both of you have played with some other pretty big-time orchestras. Will, you played with Philadelphia Orchestra, and Carlos, I think you were like an acting principal with the London Symphony Orchestra?
I was guest principal for a concert, concert two, yeah.
Okay, how was that? And is it different in London, number one, in terms of, is the pitch different? Like 442 or 444 or something? And is the interpretation, the way they play music, slightly different?
I definitely remember the first thing I played with them, I was playing actually assistant to the other principal, Pete Moore, because the reason why I ended up playing that concert as, guest principal was one of the principals was sick. And so they called me. I was in the area because I was doing an exchange with the Music Academy of the West.
Oh, right.
So I was already in the area playing with them. And so because one of their principals got sick, they offered me to play that concert. And in another concert, I played assistant to Pete on Bruckner 4. And I just remember being in the middle of that brass section and that orchestra playing Bruckner with Sir Simon Rattle conducting. Their approach to the whole symphony was so special. It was nothing was forced, nothing was harsh. Everything was just beautiful and radiant and resonant. And just being in the middle of that was so unbelievably special. I remember them hearing starting, sometimes trombones have these really soft chords while the rest of the orchestra is playing their melody and stuff. And the sound just seemed to materialize, not just four voices from the low brass section coming together. It was like just low brass sound, all immediate and together, but without like a very clear, like a harsh attack. It was just beautiful.
Wow, that's great. But you're only there for one concert or one week?
Yeah, I've only played a handful of concerts with them. Yeah.
Okay. Well, hopefully you have a chance to go back and do more.
Oh, I'd love to. That's for sure.
And Will, you played with Philadelphia. What did you play with them?
I was kind of called in last minute to play in the last week of their residency at Bravo Vale this past summer. So it was the Tchaikovsky Polonaise thing. I forgot the full name of the tune. That's the one that starts. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, from Eugene Onegin. Is that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. That one.
Yeah, that's great. Oh, I love that. Yeah.
Yeah, so I got to play a little bit of first on that one, amongst some other pieces. I played some assistant to Jeff Kernow on Tchaikovsky 6.
Wow.
And then
great.
Next week I got to play with them as well at the Mann Center in Philly. So I got to play a little bit of assistant first on Tchaik 4. To Jeff Kernow and a little bit on one of the Harry Potter movies as well. And I can't remember the rest of the repertoire quite well, but you know, I just remember that was a fun couple weeks with them. I also got the opportunity to play guest principal with the St. Louis Symphony.
Okay.
I was called very, very last minute. I was in Toronto on a little, you know, what was it, Thanksgiving? Yeah, it was Thanksgiving. Yeah, Thanksgiving vacation, you know, seeing my family in Toronto. And I get a call around 6 p.m. saying, can you come play a guest, can you play guest principal on this Respighi program, Pines and Fountains? And we need you to be here by 10 a.m. tomorrow. So and I said, well, I don't know, let me check a plane schedule. And so I managed to get there just in time and got to play. And I had never played Fountains before. I just sort of played some stuff off of the recording by ear. Never really looked at the music because I would just hear my low brass colleagues practicing Fountains so much at school that hey, that's kind of a cool tune. So, but that was kind of all it was to me before. But I had never played Pines in context, but I had practiced every single part of the piece. So I had an overnight layover at Newark on the way to St. Louis, so I just kind of sat there and studied two, three different recordings and just went through my part on my fingers. And I probably played in the practice mute in the airport as well. You know, I got to play two concerts on that program, and it was super, super fun. Very loud orchestra, but everyone knows how to play extremely loud with a very beautiful sound. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a very high decibel level, but nobody ever stops singing. It's pretty amazing.
It's a big hall.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Who conducted?
Her name's slipping my mind, but she's music director in New Jersey.
Jen Jen?
Yes.
Okay, and so were you really sleep deprived for that first rehearsal, or were you going on adrenaline?
I was pretty sleep deprived, but I got a good afternoon nap and got myself some chicken McNuggets in my system. So, you know, I was good to go for the concert.
So the concert was that night. Yeah, just had one rehearsal and then, oh, wow.
Yeah, one rehearsal and then the concert and then another a Sunday matinee.
Oh, boy. Somebody got sick or had an accident or something?
I can't quite remember what happened. I just remember whoever was supposed to play that part was unavailable.
You're already an entrepreneur because you have a line of mouthpieces, correct?
Well, I guess yes and no. The line of mouthpieces is not within a company that I own. It's with Venture Mouthpieces, but I'm a performing artist for them, so I'm working with them to design a line of mouthpieces with my name on them. And it's really cool because I've played certain mouthpieces for different types of things. You know, I always have my favorite orchestra mouthpiece. I have my favorite mouthpiece for some lead trumpet playing. And I've always thought, you know, I love these mouthpieces. I love the sound of them, but I'd love to change this and that about them. You know, especially when it comes to the feel, the transition going in between, you know, like a park orchestra mouthpiece and a G.R. Wayne Bergeron mouthpiece, for example. It's like, you know, I'd love to for this to be just a little bit different and totally different at the same time. So with Venture Mouthpieces, you can do that. You can totally transform your favorite mouthpieces into just you can just use your imagination and use the software Venkad to put together any mouthpiece idea that comes into your head, and you can have them 3D printed into plastic, which is a very cost efficient way of trying mouthpieces. These things only cost about $25 as opposed to a box of $1,000 worth of broken promises.
Wow.
You know.
Yeah, that's a way of looking at it.
I was just gonna say, you know, the line of mouthpieces is still with my name on it is still a work in progress, and I'm playing some of those mouthpieces in metal now, and they're working great. Still testing a bunch of mouthpieces in plastic. Still primarily a couple more commercial mouthpieces and a piccolo trumpet mouthpiece, just to make sure I can get, you know, exactly what I want.
Well, when I first started to do some research for this, I went on what I thought was your website, and I knew you had done some entrepreneurial things. And I opened up the website, and there are these pictures of beautiful leather jackets. And it turned out that you've probably heard this before. There's a website that's called Williams with an S Leather instead of William Leathers. William Leathers, yeah. And that's it's a website for leather products.
Yeah, well, I hate to be a disappointment, but unfortunately, there are no affiliations.
Yeah, I know. I was thinking, boy, this guy does everything, but it's not you, alas.
Yeah, it's not me.
Carlos, what about you? Do you have any plans for the future, specific plans for the future outside of the ballet?
Well, I love that the ballet offers a lot of flexibility in terms of work. We were talking earlier, like the schedule of work with the company is very seasonal and block-like. So we have blocks of time where we're working and blocks of time where we're not. So there we really have a lot of time and flexibility to pursue whatever interests we have, whether that be freelancing, teaching, traveling, taking time off, whatever that might be. Right now I'm training to be an Alexander Technique teacher, which is a process that I started in September, and it's going to last a couple more years. It's a 3-year total endeavor. And yeah, after that, I'd love to combine teaching music and trombone and Alexander technique wherever that may happen. That's definitely one thing I want to do outside of that. Well, thanks to our brass chamber music experience at Juilliard, I really love to continue that aspect of my career, playing in chamber groups and performing and solo recitals and commissioning. I love playing new music, early music too. So just whatever comes my way and whatever I can find and or make happen. Yeah, pretty open-ended at the moment.
I think aren't you playing in the, I'm not sure if it's a near future, but you're playing some big music festival in Spain, aren't you?
I'm doing a couple of festivals in Spain that are, I'm going to be teaching there. So that's happening this summer. There's one in Galicia and one in Valencia. And they happen basically within a week of each other. So I'm really excited to do that, to meet the students and work with them. It's going to be a really great time. We're looking forward to that.
Well, that's great. Well, any final thoughts that either one of you might have?
I think this was great. Thank you so much for having us today and for chatting. That was really, really a pleasure. Great to see you again, Will.
Yeah, you too, Carlos. And it's been great chatting with you, Tony. And you know, you're one of those guys where when I'm playing a piece of music and I see your name in the top right hand corner, and I go through the whole thing, especially your brass ensemble music, it always makes me think, you know, I'd love to have a conversation with this guy one day. So I'm glad we've gotten to do this.
Yeah, me too. Me too. I don't know if you ever noticed, like in quintets, quite often when I'd write a quintet, I would play first and Alan Dean would play second. So I'd always put the really hard stuff in the second trumpet. So,
oh, you know what? There are going to be a couple people who would be disappointed with me if I didn't tell this story. So in our quintet, we played your four sketches, right? And so the way we decided we were going to kick off the first movement, I happened to be playing first on this piece, and so the way we would start, just to scare the lunch out of everybody, is everyone would just be watching this finger over here, and we go. Bum, 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 bum. Since
you
it started
it
on a B
flat,
I would go down, up, B flat.
Oh, like one, two, bang.
Yeah, exactly. That was the count. And rather than moving the bell.
Yeah, yeah.
Just to confuse everybody. And that was, you know, I think we all thought that was fun.
That's great.
That was really great. I don't remember exactly how we came up with that. Like, it must have happened in rehearsal sometime where we were just practicing the beginning. I don't know if it was you.
Was that a DeAndre idea?
It might have been, but
it might have been, yeah. Well, whoever it was pure genius.
Yeah.
That's great. Yeah, I wrote that actually for the St. Louis Brass Quintet, and it was originally five sketches, and I threw out four of the five movements and wrote three new movements, and that ended up being the four sketches. And so we played it a fair amount on tour, and then after I left the group and was in Freiburg, St. Louis Brass Quintet came through Freiburg and they played a concert, and they played that at the concert, and it was in a hall that had huge reverberation, which of course makes a piece like that difficult. And the first movement really started to come apart, and I remember Alan Dean actually laughing during the performance. So that made me feel pretty good, actually. Well,
wow.
I hope I have a chance to meet both of you in person. I occasionally come to New York. My wife's family has a house out in Montauk, Long Island. And then I have a really good friend in Nashville that I visit. We visit quite often, actually. So if you have not made it to Fido's, by the time I get there next time, Will, for sure I'm taking you to Fido's, and we'll have a nice meal there.
Yeah, absolutely. That'd be wonderful.
That'd be great. And tell Pat Kunkey hello for me, too, when you see him.
Yeah, we'll do.
Okay, well, guys, thanks so much, and have a nice day.
Thank you so much,
yeah,
for what an honor
well.
To be on this podcast.
Thank you. Yeah,
thank
it's
you.
Been fun.
Yeah, thanks for everything.